Well, hello, City First Church. How many of you are excited to be in church today? Awesome. Well, Jer and I are so grateful for each and every one of you who are joining us today, whether you're in the room or online or at one of our locations. And, you know, we are headed into the most important week of our faith tradition. Yes, Christmas is special. And without Christmas, right, we don't have, without the birth of Jesus, we don't have Easter. But Easter is the very pinnacle of our faith. And everything rests upon the historical events that happened, that we celebrate this next weekend. In fact, without Easter, guess what? Us gathering here today, it's pointless. It's actually very meaningless. Our faith is meaningless. This is all meaningless. And because the resurrection of Jesus is the proof that he is the Son of God, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, just like he said. He actually is who he said he promised to be. And that's what we celebrate. And next weekend, we are going to celebrate Jesus, and we're going to have an incredibly powerful, life-changing time as we gather together as a church. So Jer and I, as your pastors, want to encourage you to make next weekend a priority for you and your family. You know, we have lots of different ways to celebrate. We have our Good Friday service, which is always special. It starts at 6 p.m. at all of our locations. And then we have Easter weekend. And there's all the different times and locations are listed on our social media or on our website. And so you can find those, check those out. But not only do we want it to be a priority for you and your family, we want to encourage you to not come alone, all right? I know some of you are like, you guys harp on this, like bring people, because here's the deal, it is so important. Who in your world needs hope? Who in your world needs hope? Who in your world is searching for answers? Who in your world needs to meet Jesus? Well, next weekend is the perfect weekend to invite them, because guess what? Like, stats say that people are more open to coming at Easter than any other time of year. So this is my challenge to us all, including myself. Let's be bold in our invitations. I know that you've all sat down already and you've gotten settled in your seat, but this is such an important weekend to us that we're going to pause and take a moment together and pray as a church. So if you'll stand to your feet with me. Because this is what we believe, that God has incredible destiny planned for next weekend. How many of you in here, your life has been changed by Jesus? My hand is up. And here's the deal, there's gonna be thousands of people that come to one of our City First locations, many of them for the very first time. And we are praying that Jesus changes their life just like he changed your life. And we're believing that he's gonna do the impossible. So will you join me in praying for next weekend? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you've done in my life, for what you're doing in the life of this church. And God, we just pause together as a church to, even now, a week before, invite your presence to be a part of Easter here. That we pray that next weekend, Good Friday, and every Easter service at all of our locations, they would be powerful. Powerful encounters where people literally, from the moment they drive into the parking lot, God, that there would be something different because the Holy Spirit is here and he's working and he's moving. We pray that people would hear a clear message about Jesus and that, God, you would awaken hearts next week and lives would be changed. We pray that the trajectory of people's lives and their families and generations and this community and every community that City First is in would be changed next week. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said a loud amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go ahead. You can clap and have a seat at the same time because we're so smart. We can do two things at once. All right, well, today, church, we are celebrating Palm Sunday, or what some refer to as the triumphal entry. And Palm Sunday is a celebration of when Jesus came into Jerusalem for Passover week. And traditionally, Palm Sunday kicks off Holy Week. which are the days leading up to Jesus' crucifixion and ultimately his resurrection. And billions of people, okay, billions of people around the world will celebrate Holy Week. But why? And what is Palm Sunday, and how does that lead in to the Easter celebration? That's what we're gonna talk about today. But this is what I wanna do in this message, okay? My teaching today is a little bit different than how I normally teach. I want to give us some historical context, which will help kind of paint the lines in, you could say, paint in the backdrop of what Easter is all about. Because this is what I know, you cannot just pull the cross out of Easter and get a full picture of what God did. You can't do it, you can't just pull out the empty tomb. God has written a beautifully intricate story, and context is everything. And to show you that context is important, I want to show you something. You know, last time I spoke to you guys, the last time I spoke on this stage, I spoke on the idea of friendships. And the team, they do this each and every week with whoever's speaking. They put together a social media clip. They just pull it. We don't even tell them what to pull. They just pull a social media clip, they put it up there. And well, when I did that message and the clip they pulled it and posted it. Well, about a week later, I didn't even see it go up. It was like, okay. And because I'm not really on social media that much. And so the girl who actually posted it on our social media, she said, well, how does it feel to go viral? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she's like, well, that clip that we shared, it's gone viral. So let me show you the clip and then I'm gonna give you some context, okay? Go ahead. Don't keep company or have consistent friendship with someone who claims to follow Jesus yet doesn't act like it. I don't care if they can spell Jesus. No. Are you living it? Don't even eat with such people. Avoid, beware. Why? Because who you spend the most time with is determining the direction of your life. If I spend my time with a gossip, I become a gossip. If I spend my time with someone who is greedy, I start to love money. If I spend my time with someone who is angry, I become angry. Bitter, I become bitter. Somebody lacks self-control, I become a little loose in the turns. Full of lust, I start to think about things that I know I don't want to think about. See, we become who we spend the most time with. All right, so you don't have to clap. This is not a humble brag. I am not that cool to have anything go viral. Okay, trust me. All right, I had no idea this was happening. Well, as of right now, Adam told me after first service, it's got like almost 750,000 views. And there's almost 700 comments. And here's the thing so once I heard that it went viral, I was like, I gotta see what all the to-do is about here. And so I hopped on, I started reading some of the comments. And I was like, people. I was like, you are addressing comments in this comment section like you have watched the entire sermon. People are commenting things like, well, that's not what Jesus would do. Jesus ate with sinners and blah, blah, blah. And then people are rebuttaling and blah, blah. And first of all, I know who none of these people are. They don't know who I am. And here's the deal, okay? Is that people were looking at 60 seconds of a teaching. And all of the comments, I was like, I talked about that. I addressed that. I spoke about that. And here's the deal. When you look at 60 seconds of a 35-minute talk, you are getting not the full context. You are getting a small little sliver, which gives you, of course, you're going to become opinionated about it. Because you are not seeing the full picture. And what I'm gonna attempt to do today, that was just an example, okay, of what happens when we just pull out something, a 60-second like clip out of a massive teaching. And listen, for me in these next few moments, what I'm gonna try and show us is there's so much more than just the cross. The cross is the pinnacle, but guess what? There is such a beautiful story that God is writing that will make you go, oh my goodness. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. And I'm going to, like I said, it's a little different teaching today. I'm gonna go a little historical, and I want you to lean in, because what we're about ready to talk about, this is what I want it to do. I want it to set the table for Holy Week for us. I want us to go into this next week with a different perspective than we've ever had. But before I do that, I have a question for you. Have you ever had to go to an important event or a meeting, but you really didn't want to be there? Everybody raise your hand. If it's your in-law's house, don't raise your hand, especially if they're sitting next to you. You don't want to go because you're busy. You've got a lot going on, right? We all do. And now you need to go to this meeting or this gathering or this place, and you're just privately, you're not thrilled. You just need to be there, right? Well, there's also other times where those situations where you don't want to be there, but then there's the times where there's something that you're really looking forward to attending, right? You're like, maybe it's a concert, maybe it is a family get-together, maybe you haven't seen your family in a long time and you're so anxious to do it, you're excited, you're like counting down the days, right? You cannot wait. So what's the difference between the thing that you are not thrilled about being at and the thing that you are thrilled about being at? And I would say that I think it's this, is that if your heart is in it, then you want to be there. But if your heart isn't in it, you don't want to be there, right? Because heart is everything. Heart is everything. And it is no different with our relationship with God. To God, heart is everything. It's not about just attending church. It's not just about using good words. It's not just about singing songs. He is looking at the heart. He's concerned about the heart. He wants our hearts. And Holy Week is all about heart. And like I just mentioned, on Palm Sunday, Jesus was entering Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. And this celebration to the Jewish people was a huge deal. It was a big deal, and it still is for many Jewish families today. And every year, the entire family would make a trip to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And the Passover celebration was about remembering how God had delivered his people out of Egypt hundreds and hundreds of years before. And the Jewish people were celebrating freedom from slavery and reflecting on how God had performed some crazy miracles to bring them freedom. And in Jesus' day, the city of Jerusalem would be overwhelmed, literally, by tens of thousands of Jewish families making their pilgrimage to the holy city for Passover week. It was packed, just jam-packed. And if you lived in the city, Passover week was crazy. This past week, Lisa and I had the privilege, we took a trip, a really quick trip, a two-day trip, to Guatemala with Convoy of Hope, one of our partner missions organizations here at City First Church. And it was for a project that we are launching at Original Conference this year. And this is just a shameless plug. If you're not signed up to come to Original or to watch online, you want to get yourselves there, okay? Because it's going to be awesome. But we flew into Guatemala City, and which is about an hour away from the city of Antigua. And Antigua is a historical city in Guatemala. And they have an elaborate, huge Holy Week celebration that they do every year. I mean, it's they're going to show some pictures. It's beautiful. They have these costumed processions. They have reenactments of the crucifixion, and then they have these beautiful creations of what they call their carpets and their intricate like artwork of sawdust and sand that they make. I mean, it's beautiful. Antigua has around 60,000 residents usually, but during Holy Week, over 1 million people descend upon the city. It's crazy. I don't know about you. I want to go someday. I'm sure it's just incredible. I mean, but this is how Jerusalem would have felt, okay, back 2,000 years ago. It would have felt crazy, massive. Hotels were full, houses were packed with visiting family members, streets were bustling, and as a Jewish family, you would arrive about a week before Passover, and this was a week of preparation for the festivities, and you see, to celebrate Passover meant you had to bring a spotless, perfect lamb to the temple on behalf of your family. And the lamb would be sacrificed by the priest at the temple, and in doing so, your family's sins would be forgiven. Now, I get it. Even as I say it, you're like, okay, that's a little strange. And this is really odd, especially to those of us in America and modern day or even the world. And the idea of sacrificing a lamb so your sins are forgiven sounds gruesome and a little bizarre. But this was common to the Jewish people of the day. And the lamb had to be pure and clean and spotless without blemish. In other words, you had to bring your best lamb to the Passover festival to be sacrificed for you and your family's sins. So essentially, this lamb would be punished for your sin, putting you then in right standing with God. Now, because many Jewish families were traveling from far away, they weren't able to bring their own lamb. And many people, Jewish families in that day, they didn't have livestock and they weren't farmers, so they didn't have their own lamb. So the tradition was that once you arrived in Jerusalem, you would have to purchase a spotless lamb to take to the temple for your family, on behalf of your family. So in Jerusalem, during the week of Passover, you guys, the lamb selling business is booming, all right? I mean, commerce is amazing for these lambs. And if you had money, you would buy a lamb for your family. And if you were poor, you would buy a dove to be sacrificed. If you were really poor, you could offer bread or a pancake as sacrifice. First of all, I love how God made a way for everybody, right? And since you had traveled a long way, the temple made it convenient for you to purchase these items that you needed for sacrifice. But this is my question. Where did all these lambs come from? That is a lot of lambs, thousands and thousands of lambs. Okay, where did they come from to be sold to the people? Well, the temple had endorsed these stockyards that raised these lambs in Bethlehem to be the official breeder for the sacrificial lambs. And throughout the year, the stockyards in Bethlehem would be raising sheep that were spotless, without blemish, so that these lambs could be sold to the families that came to Jerusalem for Passover. Any other famous event happened in Bethlehem? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And it is not a coincidence that Jesus would be born in the place where spotless lambs were being born for Passover. At the stockyards, there were these temple endorsed shepherds as well who would raise the lambs. They would raise these lambs. And the shepherd's job was to weed out the lambs with blemishes or marks and keep only the perfect lambs. And a lamb was most vulnerable to injury. Like they could break a leg because they were weak once they were born and their bones could be easily broken. So once those newborn lambs were born, guess what they would do? They would wrap them in cloth and put them in a feeding trough so that they wouldn't hurt themselves. This is why when the angels announced that Jesus was born, they said this. They said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Who are the angels talking to? The Bethlehem shepherds, who knew all about the lambs that were being born for sacrifice. This will be a sign, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in strips of cloth and put in a feeding trough. Because this wasn't just a normal lamb. This, Jesus, was the Lamb of God. And when Passover week was starting, the Bethlehem shepherds would then empty all the stockyards and herd all of these sheep into Jerusalem, which was just a short little trip away. So thousands of lambs, these shepherds that have raised these perfect sheep, are herding them into the gates of Jerusalem and carefully herding them, okay? The people and priests would then, what they would do is they would come. This was a big celebration, seeing all the lambs come into the city, and the priests would watch and make sure that the lambs that were going by were perfect and spotless and were up to code. Then the strangest thing happened on that celebration day when all the lambs were being ushered in. There was another lamb that was coming into the city. It says this, they, meaning the disciples, brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted this, Hosanna, which means save us, to the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, a different type of lamb was coming into the city that day. John the Baptist said it this way in John 1:29. He said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, because that day changed everything. Jesus was bringing a different kind of freedom. The Passover this year was gonna be different. It was gonna end all Passovers, right? This Passover was not just going to be about remembering the freedom from Egyptian slavery. No, this lamb was bringing freedom from the slavery of sin. Bringing freedom and hope. The pure, spotless, holy, magnificent, powerful, almighty God had entered the city on a donkey, not a war horse, and everything was about to change. So the people had arrived from faraway places to celebrate Passover. They had seen the lambs come in through the gate, and now it was time for them to go and purchase the lamb. Now, thousands of people were purchasing their spotless lamb. And once you picked the lamb, you didn't just bring it immediately to be sacrificed. What you did is you adopted that lamb into your family. Your wife and your children, what you would do is that you would live with that lamb for 4 days. It became a part of your family. You fed it. You let it sleep in your room. You took care of it. You made it yours. Your kids dressed it up maybe. There was like lamb-centered parenting happening here, okay? Everything shifted to the focus on the lamb. Why? Because to God, heart is everything. You could not give a sacrifice that wasn't connected to your heart. And after living with your lamb for 4 days, you and your family would walk to the temple on the day of Passover. And you would carry your lamb and then stand in line and wait to speak with the priest. And when it was your turn, you would hold out the lamb to the priest and you wouldn't let go of it. And then the priest would come and take the legs of the lamb and he would look you in the eye and he would say this, something to this effect. Do you love your lamb? And if he wasn't convinced that you loved your lamb, he would ask you a second time. As you held your lamb, you didn't let go of it. He'd ask you a second time, do you love your lamb? And then some people, if he still wasn't convinced, he would say a third time, do you love your lamb? And if the priest was convinced, then he would take hold of the lamb and he would sacrifice it on behalf of your family and your sin would be forgiven. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Yeah, it's Peter's story, right? Echoes the story of Jesus and Peter. Now, this would be after the resurrection of Jesus. Peter had blown it, remember? Peter had like abandoned Jesus when he needed him most, denied him how many times? 3 times. And then Jesus meets Peter on a beach and cooks some breakfast and proceeds to say, "Do you love me?" Let's read the account here. It says this: "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time, he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?'" 3 times. Why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times? Because to Jesus, heart is everything. He was saying, "Peter, listen, I know you blew it, but I'm gonna ask you, and I need to know, do you love me?" And can I be real honest with you? I think Jesus asked Peter 3 times even because not that Jesus needed to be convinced, but Peter needed to be convinced. Yes, I do. I do. See, it's a heart thing to Jesus. Coming to church, the words we say, the songs that we sing. You know, we're getting ready to head into Easter, you know, celebrating Easter, all those things. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing for us. And my challenge to us, this has been my whole goal of today, is to set up this next week for us as a church, that we would go on a journey saying, "God, I want it to be a heart thing for me. I want my heart to be in it." Jesus looks at us in the eyes, I think even today, and asks, "Do you love me?" And I think one of the things that stands out to me most about this story and Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the absolute intricate detail and forethought that went into God's plan. I don't think when I read this, there is not any doubt that God's heart was in his plan to save us. His heart is in it. He had been writing the redemptive story since the moment mankind messed it up in the garden. He had been writing a plan. God's heart, listen, church, his heart is for us. He gave us the best gift in Jesus. He didn't leave out one detail in the story. How profound is this story that God was writing? The detail, the beauty of it. He was like going, "Hey, listen, I'm letting you know my heart is in it." And here's the deal. Do you know that God first loved us? So guess what? We don't love him just because we get to or we have to. We love him because he first loved us, scripture said. And then we simply respond, "God, we love you." See, here's the deal. To love Jesus, you don't have to be perfect. Peter's story tells us that. And I'm grateful for that because I am not perfect. You don't have to have it all together because nobody does. You don't have to be a spiritual giant to love Jesus. What is that anyway? Right? What is that? How do we love the Lamb? How do we love the Lamb today? Okay. Well, what did the Jewish people do to attach their hearts to their lamb, to their baby lamb? Well, they spent time with it. They gave the relationship with their lamb intentional thought. The focus became the lamb for those 4 days. They made that lamb their own. And that's exactly what we do to love Jesus. See, here at City First, everyone is at a different place on their spiritual journey. And honestly, I think that is the beauty of this house, is that we've got people in here, you've known Jesus and followed Jesus for decades. And then there's those of you who you're new to faith. You're newer to faith. Maybe you've recently made a decision to follow Jesus. And then there's even those of you who you come consistently every week and you've yet to make a decision to follow Jesus. And can I tell you, you are welcome here, because we say all the time, you can belong before you believe here. You can belong before you believe. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. God will move in your heart. And no matter where we're at in our spiritual journey, if I just listed it or maybe I didn't, here's the deal. We all, and this is my challenge for all of us this week, is that as we enter into Holy Week, is that we walk into this week purposed to put intentional effort into our relationship with the Lamb of God. And ask God to help you see things that you've never seen in the Easter story. Spend some extra time with Jesus, and we're actually kind of making this easy for you to do, because as a church, we are launching this week a Holy Week reading plan that we can all do together. You can find it on our social media, you can find it on our app, you can find it on a website, you can hop on. And it's a simple devotional. It just gives us a scripture and then it gives us thoughts. And here's the deal, let's walk into this week intentional. Going, God, you are so intentional with the story of Easter. I want to be intentional back. And so this is what I'm going to have us do. I'm actually way ahead of time. I know it doesn't happen very often. I want us to stand to our feet, and nobody leaving unless it's an absolute emergency, please. Go ahead and stand at all of our locations. We're going to end with a song. And it's an old song, and it's not real long. The song says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And I hope in some small way today, you've actually seen the great love that God has for you. To the extent that he went to show you how much he loves you. And so this is my challenge to us. We're gonna sing this song, and it's a really easy song, and honestly, it sticks in your head. Once I knew I was doing this, I didn't stop singing it. And that's the goal, is that I pray all throughout the week, when you're cooking dinner, or you're about ready to close that deal, or you're sitting in your cubicle, or you're heading to class, that you would have this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That continual conversation, that continual dependency. God, show me things this week. Reveal things to me about Easter that I've never seen. May it not be a ritual or just a tradition to us, but may we say, God, do a work in our hearts. Help me to see something maybe I've never seen before. So again, why don't you even just close your eyes and let's sing this song together. Open the eyes of my heart, and then I'll come and dismiss.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see you. I wanna see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see. Power in love. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I wanna see you. I wanna see.
Thank you so much, God, that you were painting a beautiful story. God, every detail taken care of, so intricate, and all that to show us how much you love us. God, we stand here today grateful, grateful hearts. And God, we ask, and I pray over my friends today, God, that this week would be like a holy week like none other for us. That we would come before you and say, God, open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to see things maybe we've never seen. God, attach our hearts to the Lamb like never before. God, we just commit ourselves to you afresh, and we ask you to do a work in our hearts. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for Holy Week. And thank you for the stories you are continuing to write in this place. And with every head bowed and with every eye closed, if you are here today and you've never made that decision to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, today you heard about God's great love for you, the story that he's written to show you how much he loves you, how he is in the details. And if you today say, today, I want today to be my day where I make Jesus the leader and forgiver of my life. I repent of my sins. I turn from living life my own way. And I choose today to follow Jesus. I surrender my life. I choose to live his way now. Him in the driver's seat. If that is you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip your hand up right where you're at and say, Jay, there's hands up. Hands up. Raised hands. And I know at every location there are hands. And this is what we're gonna do. We are gonna pray a prayer all together so that nobody who is praying that prayer for the first time or rededicating their life in that moment, that we're all gonna pray together and say, you are not alone in this. We are in this together. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, today I choose to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of my life. I repent of my sins. I turn from my old ways, and I choose to follow Jesus today. I receive the gift of forgiveness, of salvation, of hope, of life. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, church.
Wow, what an incredible message by Pastor Jen Dewart. Yeah. Very timely and very needed. Mm-hmm. I just want to take a quick moment and say, for any person that has made that decision, we just want to say congratulations for making one of the biggest decisions that you can ever make in your life. Just know that your City First family is extremely proud of you, and we're excited to see you on this new journey alongside of God. There's a couple of things you need to do. The first thing is, please, please do not keep this news to yourself. Go ahead and share it with a friend or a family member or a loved one. Let them know about the decision that you made today. And secondly, we have some resources for you so that you can begin your walk with God in a very new perspective, in a new way. So go ahead and scan the QR code that's on the screen right now so that you can get a New Beginnings resource.
That's right. And after you've got that New Beginning booklet, we'd love for you to check out what Growth Track is all about. Growth Track is a great next step for you, whether you just made that decision to pray the sinner's prayer, or you prayed it and you've been following Jesus for a long time, Grow Track is a great place to go discover your divine design in your gifts. And so we'd love for you to check that out. You can check it out on the app, or you can hop on cityfirst.church/GrowTrack.
That's right. And we're just really excited for every person that's just been with us, and it's been awesome. Yeah. If you need a prayer for anything, and we mean absolutely anything, please know that we have a group of individuals who are eager and excited to pray for you and with you. If you have a prayer need, please go ahead and submit that in our app right now so that our team can be praying for you and know that we are with you in this journey.
Yeah. That's right. And hey, this week we are starting our Holy Week devotional. So go ahead, hop on the City First app, start day one today. It's a pretty quick, easy read. I read it this morning. It took me about 2-3 minutes to read. It's just a great way to start your day this week and keeping the main thing as we are journeying through Holy Week. We've also got Good Friday service this Sunday, 6 o'clock at our physical locations and online. So make plans to join us for that. And most importantly too, we've got the biggest celebration of the year.
Come on.
Happening next year. Pastor Jen had us pray about who you're inviting to Easter during service. And we just want to keep that in front of you. Go ahead, check out the app. Go on Facebook, share that Facebook event, share it with your friends. It's so important. You don't realize the influence that you have. And so when you share that, you never know the person that might see that and come and enter into a relationship with Jesus. It's so important. So invite everybody you know. It's going to be a party. We're going to have so much fun. And you know what? We're praying for you this week.
That's right.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.